Everlasting God, we just praise and worship you for the ability to come here this morning, for the beauty of the day. And Lord, we just praise you for all the rain and all the things that you have given us. But we know that it is not without grace that we come this morning. So we just ask that you infuse us with your comfort and peace and grace as we continue to worship. Amen.
Once again, welcome to West Valley Presbyterian Church. About 36 of our people are in Rancho Santa Marta today, down in Mexico. So you are the faithful ones, and we thank you, faithful ones, for coming today. And we have flowers up here, and I'm not sure who gave the flowers, but if no one claims them, I want my wife to know they're a belated Happy Valentine's gift to you this morning. So anyway, thank you. We have a special guest preacher today, and I want to invite Pastor Larry Thorson up here. Some of you may know Larry. He was a parish associate here at West Valley Presbyterian Church, and also he was a church liaison for City Team Ministries back in the 90s. And then his wife, Martha, who is in Rancho Santa Marta today, was an associate pastor here. And so would you just welcome Larry and say thank you for coming. Thank you. We're so grateful we have someone to preach other than Dan Ewan. So anyway, no, I'm just kidding, Dan. I'm just kidding. Okay. So anyway, Larry, would you like to share with us maybe a couple of favorite memories that you have here at West Valley Presbyterian Church?
I have so many memories. Now, can you all hear me well? Yeah. It's so good to be back in this room. This is a very special place. I'll be talking about it a little more in my message today, but you helped rebuild me after I had a really bad experience in a church. And I remember sitting in that last pew because my wife got hired here as associate pastor. I had to come with her. And I had to sit in that back pew because I wasn't going to go any further than that back pew because I didn't want those walls to come crashing down on me. This church welcomed us both in and for 4 years helped rebuild us. And then when we left, we went to launch a new church in Chino Hills, Southern California, and you outfitted our office. Now, I'll remember the day. It was a life-changing day when Ron McCaddy, the pastor here, poked his head in my wife's office door, and I was helping her pack up, and he said, "You want an Apple or you want PC?" And I had to decide right then what I was going to go. And I said, "PC, I'm sorry, Apple folks, but I have followed that course from West Valley all the way to across the country. But this church meant so much to us, and it's good to be back in here." And, of course, my wife being in Mexico today, okay, do you want to preach at West Valley or do you want to go to Mexico? Which one is it? And I gladly chose you guys, but I have a bad back, and I can't lift much anymore, so I really would rather be here anyway. So thank you for welcoming me in here, and I look forward to our time together.
Thank you very much, Larry. Would you say thank you again to him? Donna?
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, and welcome again to West Valley Presbyterian Church. Bob's the tenor, I'm the baritone. We know that God drew you here. You may have come because you thought you had an obligation, but God wants to speak to you. So we hope that you will hear him today.
Let's pray. Dear God, we bless your name. We give you honor and praise, for you are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you for the ways that you are active in our life and in creation. Thank you for the rain that is so needed for our growth and our economy. We pray for the safety from mudslides and traffic in the midst of storms. And we especially pray for our team in Rancho Santa Marta this week. Thank you for the way you have provided for this trip and the way you have gathered such a large group to serve at the school and the orphanage down there. We pray for wisdom amidst the rain so that they might still have a productive week of constructing physical structures and building relationships. We pray for the school, that it might continue to be a beacon of hope and life in that community. We pray for the students of that school, that you would draw them close to you. We pray for our team, that they may return having grown closer to you and to each other. We also pray for us here this morning, that we may remember to uphold our brothers and sisters in prayer throughout this week. For even though we may be separated by distance, we continue to be united as your family, seeking to know Christ and make him known. Thank you for the work you are doing in this church, even during our transitional period. Thank you for the way you have shown up week after week to inspire us and give us hope. Thank you for blessing us with Crash Zone and Inuri and Mandarin Academy. And we pray that you will help us discern your vision for our future. Help us to trust the plans you have for us. We take a moment to pray for our country, for the political storm that is causing greater division than any physical wall, the forces that led the extended partial government shutdown a few weeks ago are still present and still producing division and strife where there needs to be unity and cooperation. Please be with the leaders of our country, that they may serve not divided as Republican and Democrat and independents, but together as Americans. We pray that your church would be instrumental in bringing our country together, even as this country has created an environment that allows us to gather and worship without fear of persecution. Thank you for bringing Morgan Murray to us to help us during this transitional period. We are grateful that he is serving this week with our team in Rancho Santa Marta. And we thank you for bringing back to us Pastor Larry Thorsten this morning to deliver your message to us. Touch him with a special portion of your spirit, that he may speak your words and that we may hear your message. We pray all this remembering Jesus, and we pray together the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, this is good worship. I would come here just to hear that pianist. It was really good. Yeah, oh my goodness. Well, which is it? Is it Abraham Lincoln for you having lunch or George Washington? Raise your hand if it's Abraham Lincoln. Okay, raise your hand if it's Washington. It's a little heavier Abraham Lincoln. I would go with Abraham Lincoln. You know why? He was a Presbyterian. Yeah, it's really good to be back here. I got to shake off the nervousness, though. I haven't been a guest speaker anywhere. I just retired in December. I haven't been a guest speaker anywhere for many, many years. I haven't spoken here in, let's see what my numbers are. I haven't spoken here in 1,323 weeks. That's how long it's been since I was last here on August 31st, 1993, before we left for Chino Hills. And I only know that. I'm not that anal. It's that I had a really good assistant in my last church in Fremont who cataloged all my sermons going all the way back to the 70s. And I was able to get all this data from it. So, that's it. It's been a long time, and this place looks great. You have a wonderful worship. The praise songs were well done, and you got great pianist, and you have Morgan Murray with you right now. He was one of our strongest preachers and defenders of the faith in San Francisco Presbytery when we were together in that not long ago. And so you're very, very blessed as a church. I wouldn't miss a Sunday if I was you. I'd be right here and be here early and make sure that you're ready to worship. Now, I have a short passage of scripture for us to study today. It's from that great book of Jonah, the great Sunday school lesson that we know of with, and it's popular, I think, because, well, it's a big fish, and that sells well with kids, and he gets swallowed up and somehow survives, or does he survive? That's the question. But we're not answering that today. It's part of a longer series that you won't get. But we're in Jonah chapter 1, and hear the word of God now. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city, Nineveh, and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, last summer in my church in Fremont, I preached what I thought was going to be just a three-week series on Jonah. And I got into it in August, and I realized that it probably wasn't the best book to cover. When I was scheduled at the end of that series to get on a plane and fly to Hawaii with my family. Hawaii is over a large body of water. That plane could go down. But furthermore, I was getting ready when I came back from Hawaii to tell my beloved church that I had been with for almost 5 years that I was chucking it all and never going back into preaching again, ever. Was I running from God as I looked down out the window? Well, the point of the story is that God is a merciful God, slow to anger, and who gives all of us multiple chances in life. Remember that. In this story, God loved a city that to many didn't deserve a second chance. Maybe there's somebody in your life, you know, that you gave and you gave and you gave and you gave, and they took and took and took, and they hurt you. And then you couldn't get over it. Imagine now God calling you to go back to that person and help them again. When is enough enough, I ask? Well, that's kind of the story of Jonah. God has called Jonah to go to Nineveh to warn them to repent and turn back to God before it was too late. For me, that would have been a really cool assignment because I like big cities. And in the last number of years, we've gotten to tour Philadelphia and Detroit. Great places to see history, experience history, great foods, interesting people, and so forth. And if God told me to go to a great city like Nineveh, I'd be checking the flight schedules. I'd be having a ticket out of there. But what I wouldn't like is the part that says, I want you to go and I want you to preach against it. Now, I don't like preaching against anything, all right? That's like confrontation. And do you like to confront someone? My hands get all sweaty, I get all nervous, I've got to do this confrontation. And when you're pastoring a church, as I have done for so many years, what do you get to do? You get to confront people. I don't like it. And I definitely don't like to stand at a podium and confront people. And these days you got to be careful because, well, you could get sued if you don't confront them right. But of course, sometimes we need to be preached at. And sometimes even good Christ followers do things that aren't right. But wanting to avoid conflict wasn't even Jonah's problem. I don't think he even minded that part of it. He just didn't like Nineveh. And more than anything, he didn't want them to have a second chance. No. I mean, if they heard that they needed to repent, they might do it. And they didn't deserve it. Ever think that about someone? Yeah. It's tough. Just what was so bad about Nineveh? At the time, it was the largest city in the recorded world. So it's a significant city. It was even the capital of a great world power called Assyria. And in the 7th and 8th centuries BC, Assyria was would just chew up and spew out countries at will. It would put the populations of countries that it defeated on death marches. It practiced genocide basically as state policy. It's one of those places that you're going to hate regardless of who you are. Well, not much has changed in that part of the world. Geographically, Nineveh is located near Mosul in Iraq. We know Mosul because that was an ISIS hotbed of fighting for at least a decade. Nineveh itself, which is a much less significant place than it was in the days of the Old Testament, was even occupied by ISIS in 2010, where they managed to foolishly destroy a lot of historical artifacts there. But that's ISIS. And they would fit in, they would have fit in well in Assyria in Jonah's day. Well, back in the days of Jonah, the king of Assyria, he had three palaces in three major cities of the kingdom. Kind of reminds me of Amazon with their world headquarters. I'm a big Amazon fan, so don't go too far on that. There were certain strategic advantages to this arrangement. What it did is it dispersed power throughout his kingdom. It dispersed his army. It dispersed trade. And maybe most importantly for him, it dispersed his multiple wives and children so they would never have to run into one another. One of those three cities was Nineveh. And during Jonah's time, Assyria had invaded the 10 northern tribes of Israel and basically obliterated them. And this would be like when Iraq under Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait and what would have happened if the U.S. hadn't intervened. So obviously Assyria would be a much hated place for a Jew like Jonah. It would just get his blood pressure just stirring up. Remember, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Now, I wonder how that word came to him. That's always been a puzzle to me. Was it a burning bush? Was it a dream? Was there room for doubt? Hey, you've read the story? The text doesn't say. Did people around Jonah know that he was getting this message? Was there a Mrs. Jonah? And did Jonah go home and have her ask, well, how was work today, honey? Oh, it was a normal day. I guess I have to go up to Assyria and condemn them face to face. Are you kidding? No, no. I can tell you this much, that my wife would never have allowed that. Text doesn't say. It just says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Now let's talk about that call process for a moment. The phrase, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, implies that a specific message came to him. And this is where we have to be careful not to overapply his experience to our experience. I've read sermons where the preacher says, well, Nineveh is the place God calls you to where you don't want to go. Nineveh is trouble. Nineveh is danger. Nineveh is fear. What do you do when God says to you, go to Nineveh, to the place where you don't want to go? And I've read so many sermons. I've heard sermons like that. But that's not what this book is about. Nineveh is not just trouble. Nineveh is not just danger. Nineveh is not just our fear. Nineveh at that time was a real city filled with real people doing really awful things against God and God's people. And clearly their respect and fear of God was gone. That's why verse 2 quotes God justifying why he wants Jonah to preach against Nineveh. Because its wickedness has come up before me. Now Jonah was being called not to be a reconciler per se, but a prophet to preach against the evil things that they were doing. Why? To give them an opportunity to change before it was too late. And that's the story of Jonah. That's a pretty specific calling. Now, let's say that you're reading an article about an injustice against God's creation somewhere. And let's say that you're emotionally moved that something needs to be done about this injustice. Maybe it involves the environment. Maybe it involves children. Maybe it involves immigration. You're emotionally moved enough to do something about it, even if it's just to research a little bit more about it. Now, let's say eventually you find out that there's something you can do about the injustice. You find a way to get involved, and in a sense, that becomes a calling. Any desire to bring positive change to God's world can be seen as a calling. And when you get to the point where your intellect, your knowledge, matches your heart, your emotions, then you have a calling. And God calls all of us to make a positive difference in the world with the gifts and experiences that we've been given. And that calling can come to us from reading. It can come from television. It can come from movies. It can come from conversations. It can even, amazingly enough, come from sermons. And definitely the Word of God and quiet, reflective prayer. God uses all of these methods. And once you have this calling, you have a choice to make. You can ignore it and hope it goes away. You can run from it and hope not to run into any reminders of it. Or you can dig in and fulfill it. We all know what Jonah did. Verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He thought he could run away from God or God's call by moving geographically. But guess what? It doesn't work that way. I had a roommate in college. When he got back after summer vacation, I said, well, how was church this summer? And he goes, well, I took a vacation from God. Really? He had attached God with a building, with a place. And God is not attached to a building or a place. Once you have this calling, you have this choice to make. And what Jonah thought he was doing was running from that calling. He could do it. He headed for Tarshish. And anybody want to guess what direction Tarshish was in from Nineveh? The opposite. It would be like you're called to go to San Francisco and you say, oh, but I got to stop by a donut shop in San Diego first. No, opposite. No, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Besides being in the opposite direction of Nineveh, Tarshish would have been the kind of place where you would least expect to be encouraged in the faith. Scholars are uncertain about where Tarshish is, but the most likely candidate is on the coast of Spain, at the far western edge of the Mediterranean. In other words, what would have been in Jonah's day, the far edge of the known world. And the important point about Tarshish is that there would have been few, if any, places of monotheistic worship there or people who would have encouraged him in the faith of our God. No, he's not going to get reminded. The people there, for the most part, didn't worship the God of Israel. Hey, that was a pretty solid strategy. Okay, get away from the place that God's called you to. Get away from the people who could encourage you to keep doing the calling that you're doing or to urge you to go back to it. No, isolate yourself and start a whole new life over again. Sound pretty good? I tell you, for a pastor who preached for almost 40 years, there were many Sundays that I wanted to get in the car and drive, fly, take a boat, take whatever to get to Tarshish. Yeah. But realistically, where can we hide? Where? So here's my autobiographical story about you, about myself and West Valley. In the late 80s, Martha and I were working in a church on the East Coast. The senior pastor of that church decided to have an affair with the Sunday school superintendent's wife, 20 years younger than himself. And guess what happened? The church split. Family split. I saw the pain. I saw the sorrow. I heard the wrath of God's people, both against him and against my very friends who were against what he was doing. And I said, that's it. I am done. I am done. I am going as far away from pastoring as I possibly can. I have seen the pain. And so I needed to transition from being a pastor to something else. And City Team Ministries hired me as a church consultant. I could work with churches. Great. But I could also work with drug addicts and so forth. But they weren't paying very much, only as much as I could raise funds for, which wasn't a lot. And it's very expensive living here. So one day, we're sitting around having dinner, and Ron McCaddy, pastor of West Valley Presbyterian, picks up the phone and calls my wife and says, would you be interested in interviewing for the associate pastor position at West Valley? And I was thinking, okay, that might help pay the bills. But no, I don't want to go back into a church. No, if you go back into a church, I have to go back in, and I don't want to go back in. Well, long story short, she came here. And as I said earlier, I sat in the back, and I prayed, oh, dear God, our son was just an infant at the time. Oh, please, dear God, have him be a mess in the nursery and need me to come and rescue him. Oh, please, dear God. And he did. And for the next 4 years, I was his Sunday school teacher. And the group of boys and one girl that came up through that, every year I was their teacher. And they are some great young people today. I'm so proud of how they came out. I got an opportunity to work here like that. But God used this church to show me that it wasn't all as bad as I had pictured it. Now, we come to my latest call was in Fremont, one of the most painful 5 years that I have ever spent. Very, very challenging work as the demographics were changing very rapidly in Fremont and people were either moving to heaven or moving to the Central Valley or moving to San Diego. It was bad. It was really tough. And I said, this is it. I am getting out of here. I am going to retire. I'm going to change my phone number. Now, Bill Lewis has been a friend over the years, and I told him last fall, I said, I'm changing my phone number. I'm changing my email address. I don't want anybody following me. You can get my phone number through Martha, and she has sworn to only give it to certain people. Before I could even finish, come November, a woman calls me from the Manteca Presbyterian Church, where I had stopped in to see if they could follow up on two of my shut-ins who had moved there. And she said, I know that you're going to turn me down on this. I know that. But would you at least pray about it? We need a pastor, and we need someone really, really badly. And you're retiring. Could you come out and do it? And my emotions are swelling up, and I wanted to say something really ugly at that point, and I didn't. I said, I'll pray about it. I'll pray about it. Yeah, yeah, we'll get back together sometime. And I was so surprised at my response to that I called my wife, and I said, you're never going to believe this. I didn't cuss this lady out. I'm proud of you, dear. Yeah. So we got closer and closer to retirement, December 30th, and Martha says to me, you're still going to change your phone number, aren't you? And you're still going to change your email address. You're not going to be reached, are you? No, no. What happens if that lady calls you after January 1? Well, it's her loss. That's what it is. And I'm free. I never have to do this ever again. Well, she called me like 3 days before I was going to turn the phone off. And I had to say, yes, yes, I would be happy to come and be your pastor. Why? Because it's a calling. It is a calling. Now, here's the opposite of a calling. It is if you create, if you nurture an anger within you, that anger grows and grows. So the night before the pulpit committee for West Valley was to interview my wife, she had said to me, they want to meet you. They're having a hard time deciding whether they should hire me or someone else. Would you be nice to them if we had dinner? And I went into my bedroom and I got down on my knees, and 2 hours passed, and the most foul language came out of my mouth in this prayer. I was cursing God. At the end of 2 hours, my heart was broken. And I said, God, I give you my heart. I realize what's happening is that my anger is becoming my God. And so I submit it to you. And the next night we had dinner somewhere, Westgate, I think. And she got the job. Not because of me, because of her. But at least I didn't sidetrack or derail the interview process. See, what happens when you let anger build up and you run, as Jonah would do, that becomes a god in itself, and it takes on its own life, and you don't want that. And that's the danger of it. So I get an email from Morgan Murray. We have a mutual friend who recommended me, and I don't know why he would have recommended me. I told him not to, but he did. And what was I to say? Hey, it's a calling. Either that or change your phone number and go into the dark side. And that's not healthy. This morning, if you're dealing with anything like that, maybe somebody has just really made you mad. And when they make you mad in church, you know what that does? You label the whole church. You label all Christians, or at least I do. Go back into it. God has called you. Let's bow in prayer right now. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. I want to give you an opportunity. If you know that situation right now that you are battling with, maybe you want to change your phone number, you want to change your email address, you want to just go into hiding and don't let anybody see you again. That will become a god to you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've trusted in Him this morning, would you turn that thing over to Him? You have a calling. Each one of you here has a calling. Maybe you're running from it today. Stop. It doesn't get any better to run. Lord, I pray for each person here. Lord, I thank you for this room and what you did in my heart in this room and on this campus for 4 years. You transformed me and you sent me back onto the field. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, when I was tired and burned out and didn't want to do this anymore, Lord, you somehow are rebuilding me. I'm so grateful for you. And I pray that no one will leave here feeling discouraged or sensing that they don't have a calling, because I know that you have called each one of us. In Jesus Christ, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. May you bless this church and let it flourish in the years to come. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Great prayer. Please rise for the benediction. So nice to be with you. I pray now. I have a picture of West Valley Presbyterian Church 2019. It has been a privilege. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. God bless.